Everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. Wasn't that a blessing? Amen. Amen. Can we have another hand for our sanctuary choir? Just as I am. Happy Sabbath to you all. Are you excited to be in God's house on this another Sabbath day? You know, I was reading through the commandment just the other day, and God was so comprehensive when he gave the fourth commandment. He said, I want you to rest. He said, I want your sons and your daughters to rest. The servants inside that are male and female, I want them to rest. And God said, I even want the cattle to rest so that we can pause from the cares and the stresses and the traffic and the burdens of the world and focus our minds and our attention heavenward to encounter our living God. And what a privilege it is to be in his house just one more day on the 10th day of 2015. Can you believe it's 2015 already? Y'all say, Everybody sound excited to be in 2015. How are you doing with your resolutions? Anybody still keeping up with their resolutions? We got one hand here. No other hand. No, I'm surprised to see when I ask my friends, what's your resolution this year? Or what are you trying to do differently this year? Nobody seems to believe in resolutions. And someone once told me, it's not the resolutions that are the issue. The challenge is we try to change too much, too fast, too soon. I'm going to eat better this year, sleep better, exercise. I'm going to do that. And by the time it's mid-January, our bodies say, mm-mm. You've been doing this wrong for 30 years. We're not changing this fast. But those of you who are doing resolutions, hang in there. One, two, eat. And see what God can do in your life. How many of you ventured out on Tuesday? Anybody venture out on Tuesday? I must confess, I watched you all on the news. As I laid in bed with my French toast sticks, I said, I ain't going nowhere today. Pastor Wright actually ventured out, came to work on Tuesday morning with a snowstorm and all, but I didn't go anywhere. And I appreciate those who have been praying earnestly for snow days. And I just challenge you to keep it up so we can sleep in next week, too. Did you see the traffic? Anybody was in traffic? I mean, the whole Google map was red. I mean, every street was red. But anyway, we praise God that you are here today, that God blessed you to be here safely and in his house one more again. As you know and as you have heard and as you see on our lovely bulletins, our theme for this year at Tacoma Park Church 2015 is I what? Serve. Say it like you mean it. I serve. And all this year, we as the pastoral staff are going to be challenging ourselves and each member, guest and visitor to be a part of God's work, to get out there and to serve, to be kind to others, to uplift humanity and to share the good works that God has for us to do. Last week, if you were here, you heard Pastor Wright, he preached two powerful messages on the assignment. Who was here for that? Two powerful messages on the assignment and how the Christian walk is balanced well on four legs. Do you remember those four legs? The first one was what? Who remembers the first one? Prayer. Very good up in the choir loft. It was prayer. How many of you prayed this week? Don't raise your hand if you didn't. There's always the next week. Give it your best shot next week. Leg is Bible study. Bible study. Study of God's word each and every day. We have to eat God's word so that when drama and troubles and trials come, we have something fresh to combat and to attack the enemy with. Number three is worship. What did I say? Worship. And we praise the Lord that you've come out today to join us in song and in fellowship and in worship of our God. And our final leg, of course, is that of Christian what? Christian service, the one that is most often overlooked. We were reminded that Jesus gave himself the assignment to serve. The Bible says in Matthew 20, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but Jesus assigned himself to come to this planet to serve us. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Jesus didn't consider himself too big and too bad to stumble, to humble himself on his knees and to wash those dirty, stinky, crusty feet of the disciples. And also we find in Ephesians, it is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives in Christ Jesus. And long ago, he planned that we should spend these lives doing what? We should spend our lives helping others. Sound team, I may just use this middle mic. I'm finding some trouble. That we'll spend our lives in helping others. There's an author, Rick Warren. You may have read the book from where much of our content today comes. He said, you see, we were not created simply to consume resources. God did not create us to simply consume air and food and breath and to take up space. But God delights that we make a difference. That we make a what? God delights that we make a difference with our lives. And he says that we are created to serve. You know, it's our prayer that as we come to the end of this year, that we'll recognize that service is not something to run away from, but that service is something to run towards. When you serve other people, you know it's a twofold blessing. Do I have a witness this morning? When you serve and give of yourself to others, you often get blessed in the process. I remember this past Thanksgiving, the young adults and the youth had the Thanksgiving feed for the community, and they rented buses and went out to the local homeless shelters and so forth and invited over 300 people in our Keystone room to just eat and to enjoy fellowship and good music. And as we served them, we were the ones who were the most blessed. But as you consider this topic of service over this 2015, you may wonder what many of us wonder. There's so many ministries, 28 here in Tacoma Park Church. There's so many opportunities to serve. Just how do I know what I should do? How do I know which ministry is right for me? And today, we want to just spend the next few moments looking at your unique shape. Somebody say shape. Your unique shape. You got a unique shape like me. No, we want to look at your unique shape. How God has uniquely created and designed you for service and for his purpose. You know, as I talked to some seniors at WAU and even at TA, one of the major questions they have is, what is the next step? What is God's will? What is God's purpose? What is God's plan for my life? Have you ever wondered that question? Even after we graduate from college, sometimes we wrestle with that question. What is God's will and plan for my life? And as we look and unlock the shape that God has for us with regard to service, we also see some clear direction as to what God has prepared for us, his children. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word for the next few moments, open our hearts and minds to receive, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, God is a master designer. How many of you knew that? God is a master designer. Even now, we're renovating the Keystone room. And as the architect, not the architect, but the contractor and the people came, they met and they wanted to know, what is the function of this room? You say you need some storage closets. What will be inside of the storage closets so that we know how to build what we're about to build? And Jesus, in the same way, before he creates, he designs the function of that thing. As we look in the animal kingdom, what do you see up there on the screen? I'm glad you all said fish. We all see a fish on the screen. And the fish has gills and scales and fins and tails that make them expert flyers in the air. Is that true? Make them experts in the water. And a fish can just look at itself. Innately, it knows, I am designed to swim. I am designed and created for water. The fish doesn't have to wonder, should I be flying with those birds? Should I be on the wheel with the hamster? Should I be all these other places? The fish innately looks at its design and knows where its purpose is. Are you still with me? Similarly, as we look, what animal do you see there? We see the bird with its hollow wings covered from head to toe with feathers that are light enough to help it cover a surface area in the air, and it coasts across the waves of the sky. The bird never has to question, should I go fly underwater? Should I get on earth and walk with those other humans? The bird knows that it is created and designed to fly. The rabbit doesn't ask, should I hop? It knows it has those big, long, bendy legs in the back and that it naturally hops. And human beings were created and shaped and designed with their purpose as well. You know, far too often we underestimate God. We think that God just makes, he just mass creates. Everything looks the same. Everything moves. Everything has the same purpose and function. But I'm here to let you know or to remind you that every living human being God created uniquely and specifically purposed it for his divine will and his divine purpose and plan. As you look inside the human body, it's too intricate to think that it just happened haphazardly. The human body is too well designed, too well put together to think that over millions of years, a monkey turned into that. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And the Bible declares in Psalm 139, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." The psalmist continues, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and even while it was unformed, in the books all of the days of my life were written." That's how well God knows you. That's how well God planned and designed you. And let that be a lesson to us. We have no reason to hang our heads low. As children of God, we have no reason to be afraid and to be ashamed because we were designed by the Master Creator. Can I have an amen this morning? God created us, and perhaps the seal of his creation is shown in the fingerprint. 6 billion plus people on the planet, and every single one, God gave a unique fingerprint. Every single one, God has a specific plan and purpose for. One version says, "I am wonderfully complex." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are wonderfully complex." Now, you knew some of them were complex, but you didn't know, you didn't know they were wonderfully complex. And so to help unlock a bit of this complexity, you should have got a handout. Did you all get a handout as you came in somewhere along the way? You're welcome to follow along, fill in some answers to keep your hands from pulling out your cell phone. To help unlock some of this complexity, one author uses the acronym SHAPE to help us see what the purpose is. And SHAPE, the S stands for spiritual gifts. H stands for heart and what our passion is. The A stands for our abilities, P, our personality, and E, our experiences. Let's dive in and see about this letter S. But before that, I carry around a set of keys, and I think I must have left. I don't need them, but I left them there on the floor. And people ask me, "Pastor Wolf, can I use your keys? Can I use your keys to open this closet?" And I say, "Sure, go ahead." And they try one key, and then the next key. And the next key, and perhaps the most frustrating thing in all the world, is to keep trying and spend all that energy and time trying to figure out which key goes in which lock. Has anybody ever been frustrated besides me? All my cholerics in here are frustrated trying to figure out the right key to the right lock. And in the same way, it's frustrating to try to figure out what it is God has planned. And so we want to make it a little easier for you. Still with me? Say amen. Yes. Stands for our spiritual gifts. Somebody say spiritual gifts. God has given to every believer a spiritual gift. Do you believe that this morning? Every believer. Well, Pastor, I'm too old. Every believer. Well, Pastor, I'm too young. God's not going to use me. Every believer God has gifted with a unique spiritual gift to be used in his service and to be used in his ministry. You can't earn these gifts. You don't deserve these gifts, which is why they are called gifts. The Bible declares in Ephesians, Christ has so generously, God is such a generous God. Some of us are so stingy and don't want to give any tithe, don't want to give any offering, don't want to help no kid go to school. God has just so generously given out his gifts to us. 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says, it is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The Holy Spirit pre-designs which spiritual gift each one should have. And let me let you know, no one gift is better than the other. Ain't nobody's one gift better than the gift that God has put inside of you. Too often the church, we overemphasize certain gifts. We put some gifts in the spotlight while we diminish some gifts. And that causes some people to have what's called gift envy. As you witness others living out and using their gifts, we become jealous of what God has given to them. I must confess, the other few weeks, Handel's Messiah. How many of you were here for that amazing concert? Can we give our sanctuary choir another hand? Well done. Well done. And you may remember that bass, Eric Brown, stood up there. Stood up strong. And I mean, he opened his mouth and I don't know what came out. Power. And majesty came out. And in that moment, Anwar, I experienced gift envy. When Pastor Wright first came, somebody came to me after the church. They said, you see that response Pastor Wright gets? I said, yeah, I see. They said, if you preach like Pastor Wright, you'll get that response too. And I sat there, Pastor Taylor, I was tempted to just run down one day and just say, hallelujah. And God looked at me and he said, are you done? I said, yes, Lord, I'm done. He said, get on back up to that podium. Put your slides up and do what I told you to do. Gift envy. And the Lord reminded me what he wants to remind you. Your gifts are not for competition. God has given us gifts not to compete with one another, not to spy on and see who's singing better than who's singing. Use your gift that God has given you to the best of the ability that you have, and in so doing, God receives the glory. 1 Corinthians 12:5, there are different kinds of service, different kinds of gifts in the church, but it is the who? Same God we all are serving. And an unopened gift, think about Christmas time, an unopened gift is a worthless gift. Letter H stands for what? Heart. Heart is your passionate, represents all the things that you are passionate about. All the things that you care most about. Proverbs 21:19, as a face is reflected in the water, so the heart reflects a person. There are certain subjects that you feel passionate about. Now I see these ladies, are you all, is it warm? Y'all making me hot. There are certain subjects that you are passionate about. I was in Target just the other day, and on the newsstand there was a big magazine. Now while my wife looks at, she's not here. She looks at the Hollywood, who's marrying, who's doing what. I found this magazine. It said, The Genius Inside of You. I said, that's intriguing. Because I think I'm a genius. She lets me think that I'm a genius. So I wanted to see these certain brain activities you can do and quizzes to keep your mind fresh and to keep your mind strong. So I was laying, we were in bed the other night, and I was just going through the magazine. I said, Lindsay, look, if you do this and if you add these numbers in a certain way, it'll sharpen this part of your mind. She said, looking at Pinterest on her phone. I said, look at this. If you do this, your mind will be just strong and it'll just be sharp. She said, She wasn't interested at all. Not one bit. And I started to get upset. And then the Lord said, that's okay. Because I'm not interested in Pinterest at all. Decorations. And I'm not interested in any of that. Each of us have things that we are passionate about. Service is not to be coerced and to be forced. God pre-programs us with certain passions that we will enjoy doing when we serve in that way. Whether it's art, some people are passionate about art. Some people are passionate about music, have different CDs and albums and downloads from all different genres. That's just some people's thing. Some are passionate about mission and social justice and the downtrodden. That's okay. These things come from God. God has a purpose in giving you these interests. He says, love me. Serve me with all of your heart. Give it everything you've got. People rarely do well at tasks they don't feel passionate about doing. Have you ever been forced to serve in an area that you're not passionate about serving in? That's when you get VBS helpers that can't stand kids. Greeters who don't like people. Forced to do things that they're not passionate about doing. I remember, who remembers that? Anybody remember that? Somebody was passionate in my church growing up that everybody ought to go in gathering, door to door, asking for money for missions. I hated it with everything inside of me. I hated it. Now it grew me. It strengthened me, but I hated it. God doesn't want us to be in ministry areas that we hate. He's programmed us to be in areas that we enjoy. And when we serve in areas that we enjoy, we bring with it enthusiasm. You don't show up late to serve because you, here we go. You don't come with that attitude because you love to do. It's like the day before you go on a field trip. You can't wait to go out like Cecil Sr. to go out and to serve in the community, giving food to the homeless, making a difference. You don't need applause. You don't need pay because you're passionate about it and you love to do it. Three more and I'll let you go. Number three, letter A stands for abilities. Somebody say abilities. Is this making sense? All right, that's good. A, abilities. Abilities are the natural talents that you are born with. Each of us is born with some manner of a natural talent and ability. Otley's just born with natural music ability. Others, naturally athletic. Some natural at art and design. Some are natural cooks. Man, you put some ladies in the kitchen, whew, they don't need a recipe. They don't need, the recipes are up here. It's in their spirit. The recipes are in their spirit, and they just make good food, naturally good and able to do these things. Turn over in your Bible, Exodus 31. It's not on the screen. Oh, some are natural teachers that get to meet Governor Brown. That's Janaea. She usually comes to first service, but some are just natural at what they do. Exodus 32. Stole that from Facebook. Be careful what pictures you put up on Facebook. You never know when the pastor's going to use them. Exodus 31, verse 2 down through 5, and it reads, see, I have called by name Bezalel, we'll just call him that, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for settings, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. God gave this individual special talent and ability, and he's done the same with you. Some are naturally gifted in carpentry. Some are good in technology. We said design. Gardening like Sister Hyacinth, managing, painting, making music, selling. Some are natural teachers. Some are able to do inventing and tailoring and writing and coaching, translating. Whatever it is you are able to do, God wants you to do that. Does that make sense? Whatever it is that you're able to do, God wants you to do that. And as the Bible declares, do it with all of your might. P stands for personality. You may remember a few weeks back, Pastor Wright passed out the handout, did a series on personality with the four quadrants of the brain. Do you all remember that? And the four temperaments, we have the sanguines, outgoing, talkative. You know it's a sanguine when they can't stop talking, when they don't stop talking. Loves people, funny, storytellers. Any sanguines in the house this morning? Let me hear the sanguine shout, amen. Amen. And they're not ashamed to do it in the middle of service. Just love to be seen, love to dance, love to talk, love to be up front. And that's okay because that is how God wired you. And he needs you in service as well. Then we have the cholerics. Now, I'm a choleric. I didn't appreciate that picture. Sanguine is all happy and laughing. And the choleric got fire, hellfire coming from his ears. Natural leaders and organizers and achievers, goal-oriented, they're loyal. The cholerics are the ones checking the clock to make sure we stay on time. The clerics are ones scanning the bulletin to make sure there's no grammatical errors and spelling problems. Any clerics in the congregation? Now, I'm not going to make you say nothing, but I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you. God bless you. It's nothing like being around a bunch of clerics. I mean, take on the world that way. Phlegmatics, calm. Now, phlegmatics frustrate clerics. Calm and steady. What do you want to do? It doesn't matter. I'm okay. Clerics like, what do you want to do? I'm all right. I could go either way. And the cleric is sweating and heart is racing. What do you want to do? They're easygoing and they're relaxed. They're patient. They avoid conflict. They don't like to be in conflict. Mediators, and they're reliable. Any phlegmatics in the congregation, I see your hands. And we're praying for you as you frustrate us. We're praying. We're praying for each of you. And finally, my other one, the melancholy, analytical, works well alone. Loves, man, I tell my wife, I love when it's raining outside and I'm in bed with a book. That's good news. Good news. Deep thinkers. She said, you're always so deep. Deep thinkers. They love beauty and art and they're planners. Any melancholies in here? They, yes, sir. Yeah, there they are. And each one is all right. There's no right or wrong temperament. I used to wish I was the sanguine that could just be up front. This is not even natural, but that I could just be up front and do this and do that. There's no right or wrong temperament. You are the temperament that God pre-wired you to be. Own that temperament and use it for the glory of God. God works through different people in different ways, but it is the same God who achieves his purpose through them all. And the final one is our experiences. Each of us has had a unique experience. Am I right? There are no two experiences that are the same. That's why you just can't go up to someone and say, I know exactly how you feel. No, you don't. Because your experience is not my experience. We've had family experiences, where you were raised, what family grouping you were raised in. Educational experiences, what degree you may have been trained in or what classes you enjoy. We have spiritual experiences, ministry experiences, and even our painful experiences. I like how it's written. It says, who could better minister to a parent of a Down syndrome child than a couple who has a child afflicted in the same way? Who can better help an alcoholic recover than someone who has fought that very same demon and has found freedom? Who can better comfort a wife who has lost a husband or even a child than a woman who went through the same agony herself? God intentionally allows us to go through painful experiences to equip us for ministry to others. Quite often, God uses that painful experience to point you in the direction of your very ministry calling. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, he, God, comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can do what? So once we go through an experience and God comforts us, now God sends us out to comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given to us. Those very experiences that we regret, that we resent, that we want to hide from because of shame and embarrassment are the very experiences that God wants to use so that you can help other people. But for God to use those painful experiences, we have to allow him to use it. Have you ever heard someone stand in the front and give just a powerful testimony of overcoming? Have you ever heard that? And as you listen, you're edified and your spirit is filled. You're saying to yourself, I experienced that same thing. How did they know how it felt? And God then uses that story to change your life. Pastor Taylor read this scripture for prayer, but I'll read it again. This is Paul as he was going through trouble and tribulation. He says, I think you ought to know, dear brothers, about the hard time we went through in Asia. We were really crushed. We were overwhelmed. You know, it's all right to admit that you're crushed and overwhelmed. We feared that we would not live through it. We felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was for our good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone can save us, for he can even raise the dead. And he did help us and saved us from terrible death. Yes, and we expect him to do it again and again and again. God wants to use those painful experiences, even those painful experiences, to transform this world for him. As we close, God has given us these tools, these keys to help unlock that potential and purpose inside of us. Our spiritual gifts, each of us having one. Our heart and our passion, those areas where we are pre-programmed to enjoy and to care most about. Our abilities, the natural talents that we have. Our personalities, the way that our temperaments are wired. And E, our experiences. We will be most effective when we use our spiritual gifts and abilities in the area of our heart's desire and in a way that best expresses our personality and experience. The better the fit, the more successful we will be. As we close, you know, one of the most prominent features of this church are these stained glass windows. You see the one behind me. I see the one behind you. And at first glance, it looks like it's just one big piece. But as you go closer, well, I guess as I look now, you can see that these stained glasses are comprised of many different pieces, many different colors and groupings and shapes and patterns. But when they all come together and when they reflect the light, they all look beautiful, do they not? And as we come together with our various shapes and temperaments and passions, and as we join together to serve God, as we find that sweet spot of ministry for us, God will shine his light through us, and our church will be a beautiful place. Our community will be a beautiful place. Can you imagine 300 people? 400 people knowing where God has created them to serve in that sweet spot of service. Just imagine all of us coming together, recognizing and accepting our assignment, signing up for ministry. Maybe you live too far from this church, so you sign up for ministry closer to your home, whatever the case may be. Recognizing and identifying that call of God and serving. I can't help but to think he will come sooner. As we, his hands and his feet, go out and help one another and lift up the downtrodden, the brokenhearted, stand up for social justice in our community and in our society, I just know that the light of heaven will shine on us. We will be so filled. Our spiritual experiences will go to another dimension. One pastor says it this way: we are spiritually constipated. I know it's kind of a little off, but we eat and eat and eat. Bad analogy. We eat and eat, but now it's time for us to give. Now's the time for us to let it out of us, to go out. And we will be blessed. We will be blessed. We'll see greater. I heard somebody say, why would God give us more of the Holy Spirit to just sit on it and do nothing with it? As we are serving, we'll say, Lord, we need more of your Holy Spirit. And before the words can come out, God's Spirit will flood through us. We will see miracles as we are serving one another. We will see dynamic things happen. The skies open up as we are serving. God will do mighty things. How many of you are ready to allow God to use your hands and your feet in service to him. Let me have a word of prayer for you. If it's your desire, just raise your hand where you are. Keep it up. The angel's coming to give you a high five. And as the angel touches that hand, know that he's going to use those hands. So if you're not ready, if you still need to pray about it, keep your hands down. But if you're ready to allow God to make clear to you your assignment, your function, and your purpose, I think it's on the 31st. We're going to have a special training. Cecil's going to hold it over in the church center, special training to gear us up for February's launch as we plug into ministries. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for creating us with a master plan, with a master design. We thank you for sparing no cost, for using all of God's intelligence to create humankind. And now, Lord, as we go forth from this place, I just pray that you will make clear to us what our spiritual gifts are, that you will shine the light on our hearts and our abilities and remind us of our temperament and our experience so that we can use it for your glory. May we not be jealous of one another or what they're doing, but to be busy doing the work you've called for us to do. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will so fill this church that your hastiest coming will be so much sooner, and we can go home and be with you forever. Bless each hand that was raised, and as the opportunities come, may we go forward and serve you in those ways. We thank you for hearing this prayer. Bless each one, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.